Blog Talk Radio.
All right. It's a Tuesday morning at 11:34. This is the day that the Lord has made on Sound Off Forums, and I'm your host, George Beverly Jr. I'd like to welcome you. Today we're going to do another Bible study. I'm coming out of Malachi. Man, I'm telling you, I'm truly blessed. I thank you, Lord, for all my friends, my family, and the people who know who I am and who love me and who you put in my life in order for me to feel better, make me learn better. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit because your spirit renews me each and every day. For those of you who are listening, I thank you for listening. For those of you who will listen, I thank you for listening. This speech came to me via the Holy Spirit through Pastor Bailey, who I go to church with my sister in Lawrenton, Virginia, Shiloh Baptist Church. And the word came through, and I just want to give him reverence of what he has spoken from the Spirit unto us. And so what I'm going to do is play Malachi for you guys, 1-4, and then I'm going to give you his key points coming out of Malachi 2:17, and then the whole chapter 3 of Malachi. Very powerful. If you want to take notes, please do. Go back, reread it. This right here, ladies and gentlemen, has been told to me by the Spirit, by Jesus, things that I've been praying on, things that I have been saying over and over and over again has given me confirmation, not only to the people that I speak with, but also to the people that are in my family, also to my wife. These things don't happen for a reason. They are fulfilling the prophecy that Jesus Christ has said. He's already made the end date. He knows what the end is. We are just fulfilling every footstep as he has stepped for us. There's billions of footsteps, but guess what? Jesus created those footsteps before we were even born. So without further ado, I'll go ahead and play Malachi for you.
Word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Yes, I have already cursed them because you have not resolved to honor me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will smear on your faces the dung from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. And you will know that I have sent you this warning so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many from sin. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty, and people seek instruction from his mouth. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised, humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law. Do we not all have one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our ancestors by being unfaithful to one another? Judah has been unfaithful. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves by marrying women who worship a foreign god. As for the man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord remove him from the tents of Jacob, even though he brings an offering to the Lord Almighty. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer looks with favor on your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask why. It is because the Lord is the witness between you and the wife of your youth. You have been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Is not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard, and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard, and do not be unfaithful. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or, where is the God of justice? Malachi 3. I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, said the Lord Almighty. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, the Lord Almighty. All the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Malachi 4. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked. There will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, then Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife, Solomon the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Jehoram, Jehoram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amon, Amon the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abihud, Abihud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, Achim the father of Elihud, Elihud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Matthew 2. After Jesus.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and give you my opening. It's, you can find me on Facebook, george.mango.904. You can find me on Twitter at soundoutforum97413. Or you can call in at 347-989-1014. I'm reading from Ephesians 6:6-13. Not with eye service as man-pleasers, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there a respect of the persons with them. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers, the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness of high places. Wherefore, take up on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the wiles of the devil, and having all done to stand. Now, I'm going to go a little further on that one, that Ephesians 6, because I want to put everything that I'm saying in context right now, everything that I play in context, so you will understand what I'm referring to. So let's see. Because it's important that you understand why I read this and why I'm playing this. Okay, so I'm going to start off with the Ephesians verse that I always read. And so, like I said, you will have an understanding of exactly what I'm referring to. Okay. In the last past, I would say, let's just say 2013, we've been going through some weird, very specific things in the world. And some can be explained, some cannot be explained. Some just leaves us scratching our heads at times. Ladies and gentlemen, I am telling you now that the prophecy is being fulfilled. The reason why I read Ephesians 6:6-13 is because it is important to know what we are doing and who we serve. I'm going to go ahead and read 13 through 17 to give you weapons to arm yourself. 14, stand firm then with the belt of trust buckled around your waist. That's one, all right? The belt of truth. Belt of truth, okay? The breastplate of righteousness. So we've got armor on our chest. Breastplate of righteousness. And with your feet fitted in the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So your feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So in regards to peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which with you can extinguish all fiery arrows of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, let's see. First, we've got a belt of trust. Then we have the breastplate of righteousness. Then we have the foot fitting of peace. Then we have the shield of faith. Then we have the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the tools that we need to arm ourselves against the evil ones who rule over us. And these principalities, these powers, these darkness, and I say they're angels, which they are, but they also have influence because, you know, angels can transform themselves into human form. You got to understand those things. Angels can transform themselves into human form, and they can transform themselves into other things. But let me tell you, if the evil one, if God, angels can transform themselves and talk to Abraham, talk to Moses, talk to who else? Talk to Joseph, talk to Daniel, talk to John, the disciple John. Then you know that the evil ones can transform themselves into human form as well. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to say today, we're going to arm ourselves with the belt of truth. Come on, let's put it on right now. We're going to arm ourselves with the belt of truth. We're going to arm ourselves with the breastplate of righteousness. We're going to put on the shoes or the slippers of peace. We're going to shield ourselves with the shield of faith. We're going to put on the helmet of salvation, and we're going to carry the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We've already got the weapons. Paul's already told you what you need to do. Through Christ Jesus, we will be armed. Ephesians 6:6-17, ladies and gentlemen. Now that we have this in context, what we need to do to arm ourselves, let's go back to why I played Matthew. I'm going to back up. I'm going to give you a prelude to what we will be talking about in the future on Sound Off Forums, and that is the lineage of Jesus and who Jesus is. The reason why I played that is because some of us, who reads the Bible, get really thrown off with all the Jehoshaphats and the Rams and the Shivas and all these things, and these words throw us off and keeps us purified in the Word. And remember, everything that's written in the Bible is written in the Bible for a reason, so we can't just exclude it because we don't know how to pronounce it. That's why we are given technology today in order to read the words in which we can do. So you see that I use the audio thing to read all those names. Now I know those names now, you know, listening to these to the things. But like I said, I just wanted to let you know that is a prelude to something that we will be getting into shortly in the next week, 2 weeks or so. Now, the sermon that was given unto me from the Lord that has been rattling me since the first day that I got here. I tell you, I was a mess. And but I have given myself to God, put it all on the altar, cried it out, and let God know how I feel and what he knows that I needed. Okay? So what I'm going to do is going to read from 13 to 17 from the Malachi 2. Malachi 2, 13 through 17. And this right here is posing a question. These Israelites, the Hebrews, are posing a question to the prophet who is speaking through the Spirit of the Lord currently. God's talking to them right now in the present day. And then I will tell you how that translates for today. Okay, so in today's 2013. So we keep all those things I said before that into context because I will be bringing them back in. 13 reads, another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and you wail because he has no longer looked with favor on your offerings and accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask why? It is because the Lord is the witness between you and the wife of your youth, and you have been unfaithful to her. She is your partner, the wife of your marriage and your covenant. Have not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and to spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not unfaithfully to your wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife says to the Lord of Israel, does violence to one should be protected, says the Lord Almighty. So be on guard and do not be unfaithful. You are weary to the Lord with your words. How have you wearied him, you ask? By saying, all you do are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he pleases with them. Or where is Jesus' injustice? Let me read this in the King James Version, because this one doesn't really give me what the effect that I've read off of it. Okay, give me a second for it to pop up for me. The question was posed by these Israelites, and Malachi is telling them what God has put on his heart. And he has told them, he says, you have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or where is God of justice? Okay. Everyone does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. Now, there is nothing new under the sun, said the Lord Jesus. People say this all the time. Well, my grandmother died, or my mother died, or my best friend died, or my daughter died, or my son died. The people, this man murdered him. How could he still be alive? He raped my children. How can he still be alive? He should be put away. He should be put to prison. Everyone who doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? Listen, ladies and gentlemen. This is what the Israelites were saying. Do we not say that right now? Do we not say that right now? Where if there was such thing as a God, God wouldn't let such things happen. God wouldn't do this and God wouldn't do that. How can you say what God would and would not do. We are human. God is omnipotent, omnipresent, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-doing. Infinity. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we can't speak what God would do. We can't speak what God would say. We are not God. We are human. We have flaws. Jesus does not have flaws. Jesus allows. Jesus can take away. Jesus can and will always be right. No matter how you want to categorize Jesus and put him in a box with other gods, there's only one God, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you, I don't care what anybody says about this Bible, this word, it is prevalent in my life. I try to walk it. I try to speak it. I try to apply it. I try to influence. Ladies and gentlemen, this stuff is real, the real deal. It is it. This is it. Okay, so we posed the question. The Israelites posed the question. And this is what God said. Now, listen, if you're not ready to hear this, and you're not ready to get the truth of the matter, you're not ready, you feel like, you know, well, George, you're just talking about, no, this is what God has, this is what God said. This is what God said. So, hey, listen, get ready, because God is coming. Malachi 3. He says, Malachi 3 says, behold, I send a messenger, and he will prepare the way for me. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, enter the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, said the Lord of hosts. Now, we know that angels are messengers. We know this. There's different type of angels, but this specific angel, the transformed human form, we know who this messenger was, John the Baptist. We know who this person was, John the Baptist. He was the messenger to prepare the way for him. Because how do we know that? Because he said, this is what Jesus said. This is what Malachi said through the Spirit. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will certainly come to his temple, and in even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. 2, but who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, a lavender's of soap. He will sit in the finery and purify the silver. He will purify the sons of Levi. He will purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about offerings as well. We'll be going through Leviticus. It is important that you understand. See, now, when we were talking, when I was reading 10 through 17 of 1 Malachi, it was talking about why we murmur, why we question God. And then God comes and says, who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? Listen, when you ask for God to show up, you better be ready for him to show up. When you want something and you feel like you can't handle it, don't be asking God for a new job and then be like, oh, God, I hate my job. But isn't that the job you asked for? Didn't you say, Jesus, please give me a job because I needed a job, and now you're complaining about the job? Come on, don't let's not make mockery of Jesus. Okay? Didn't you ask God for a financial blessing and he give you money every month? And then all of a sudden you say, oh, Jesus, I'm broke? Okay, well, hold on. Holy thoughts. Didn't you ask Jesus for a child? Now the child has got ADHD, ASD, or he got Down syndrome, or he's a behavioral problem, or but all this stuff. Jesus, I want a baby. Jesus, I want a baby. And he's been telling you, you're not ready. Okay, you want a baby? Here it is. So listen, you want this job? Here it is. You want this money? Here it is. Now, when you can't handle it because you want it and you feel it's too stressful, who are you going to call on? But listen what he says. He says, he is like a refiner of fire. He is like a lathering of soap. He will sit on a refiner and purify the silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them of gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord of offering in righteousness. Okay, so let me break this down real quick. Let's have that fire right here. All right, that refinery fire, and then on the left hand, we'll have the lathering of soap. What Jesus is saying to his people is he's going to go to the priesthood. He's going to go to the church. He's going to go to those Levites, because we know that the Levites are the priests, right? Correct. He's going to go first with the church. He's going to purify the church for all those wicked people who claim to be Jesus, who claim to worship the Lord, who claim to be traveling. Listen, all that stuff will be purified. Okay. So now that we know that this has been purified, because why? Because Jesus has come, and what did we talk about the other day? Nicodemus, right? Nicodemus was a Levite. He wanted to clean Nicodemus. He gave him the new fire because he said, you are the Lord, because the Lord be with you, because only the Lord, only the Lord could be with you to create these miracles that you have done. Nicodemus said that. The Levite, he came on the scene. Who will stand? Who will appear? He came to the temple, broke the veil, still didn't believe, still asking for a king, right? They've been asking for a king since the day of Exodus. We want a king. We want a king. They got a king. Oh, Lord, now the kings are making us do this, and the kings are making this. God said, you don't need a king. That's why he gave you judges. He gave you the judges to rule over the rights and wrongs. But no, they didn't want that. They didn't want judges. They wanted a king. They wanted a king. So God said, okay, well if you want a king, I got to make sure that this kingship is done right. Right? Through the kingship, now this is where Matthew's come in, through the kingship shows the lineage of Jesus Christ. Through the lineage of the kingship, physical kingship, shows Jesus Christ. That gives his physical authority of him being a king on earth. Now, we know spiritually the Lord gave him that immaculate conception of Mary, but that gave him his legitimacy as a king because he is an offspring of David, of Abraham, and of Jacob. What is the offering of righteousness? That they may offer to the Lord the offering of righteousness. They said prior in Malachi 2 that you didn't accept the offering anymore. It was no longer taken by you, Lord. What happened? But he said that he's going to come and he's going to purify the Levites, the sons of the Levites. He's going to come and purify them, so then when he starts over new, when he starts over new, that the offerings would be righteous. Okay, now, let's move over to 4. Then the offering of Judea and Jerusalem. Now, let me explain to you. The kingdomship of Judea and Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in the north, and Judea was in the south. It was two kingdoms reigned by two different kings at any given time until Solomon. And then, of course, we know what happens after that. Okay. So when he is speaking separately of Judah and he says Jerusalem, I want you guys to understand the reason why he says that is because he breaks them down into kingdoms rather than Israel. He could have just said Israel, but he didn't. He said specifically Judea and Jerusalem, okay, will be pleasant to the Lord as in the old days, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be swift witness against the sorcerers, adulterers, the persecutors, those who plight wages, earnings, and widows of the orphans, and against those who turn away from aliens because they do not fear me, and saith the Lord. Okay, so now I'm going to go back to the NIV version, because I like the way the NIV version says this specific verse. And you say, well, you're flipping back and forth to justify your points. Listen, I want to make it clear and plain to you. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to make it plain and easy so you understand, okay? You ladies and gentlemen out there who are listening to this broadcast or will listen to this broadcast, okay? Then Jesus will have men who will bring offerings into the righteous, and the righteous of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord in the days that has gone by in the former years. So I will come and put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, persecutors, against those who default laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. Ladies and gentlemen, I could spend 3 hours talking about this one particular passage. But I won't. The question was raised by the Israelites. Remember in Malachi 2:17, he says, where is the God of justice? Where is the God of justice? Where is he? This is what he replies with. He says in verse 5, Malachi 3:5, he says, so I will come and put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Don't think that sorcerers do not exist. When he talks about sorcerers, he's also talking about witches. He's also talking about conjurers, those who do those tarot cards, those who do all these different things fall into when they say sorcerers, adulterers, people who cheat, okay, continuously. Then this is the one that gets me. This is the one that I love. It just resonated. As soon as he said it, as soon as it read it, it leaped out in my spirit. Against those who defraud laborers of their wages. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand something. We can't control what's going on right now. we can't say what's right or what's wrong. We can't sit here and try to judge this person or that person. But I will tell you this. What's going on in the world right now? People are being forced to work harder, longer, for less wages. Didn't I just say that we are fulfilling the prophecy of Jesus right now? They are forcing people to work harder, longer, without pay, with pay. We'll pay you later. Don't worry about it. This is going on right now. We just went through a government shutdown. But Jesus said, I will come put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, the persecutors, against those who, and persecute against those who, defraud laborers of the wages, and who oppress the widows and the fatherless. Ladies and gentlemen, what are they doing to people who are elderly? They're cutting them off of welfare. They're cutting them off of Social Security. They are not wanted. They're not needed. What do they say about the children? They don't need free meals for lunch. They don't need free meals for breakfast. They don't need this and they don't need that. They don't need, listen, it's going through right now, ladies and gentlemen, right now. And that's why I said that I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to get frustrated about them folk on the Capitol Hill because they just doing what is supposed to be done in order to fulfill the prophecy. So when I start talking prophetically, as I always, what I try to do, and I don't call myself a prophet, but God speaks to me and allows me to see things and my words come to fruition. I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, we are right now, I mean, you can say that, you know, in the Great Depression times. Nothing under the sun is new. It's a recycle of things. You don't think, when's the last time we had a bank scandal as far as the banks talking about closing down? That's already happened. J.P. Morgan, if you don't know who he is, I gave a lecture on him. If you don't know who J.P. Morgan is, you need to find out because he's the one who created the first bank fallout. And don't you think that the banks are going to do it again? Why? This is why their people are telling you, buy gold. Listen, this is why the people are selling gold right now. You know why they're selling gold? Because they're about to break down the currency. You think the dollar don't have any potential right now? Just wait, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now. People, listen. First, let me show you how they did it. First, Teddy Roosevelt wrote a law, legislating law, that you're not supposed to have no more gold in your house. You can't have gold. Can't have it. Just can't have it. Right? Okay. Then they took, when they made the Federal Reserve, they took gold away back in the dollar. Okay. So where's all the gold? Okay. When the World Trade Center, 9/11, and y'all can say whatever y'all want to say, but this is a real deal. And the day of 9/11, they had $3.1 billion in gold in the basement of the Twin Towers. I'm just saying. Okay, you do your own research and find out for that one. Then, a couple years later, I would say maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, they start making those advertisements about selling your gold. Sell your gold. Fast cash. Sell your gold. We take all kinds of gold, blah, 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 blah. Now it's one of those things where you want to sell your gold so you get you some fast cash, right? Now what are they doing? Now they're telling you to buy it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not by coincidence. This is by design. This is by design. It should not surprise you that they're selling gold. Why are they selling gold? Because they know that the currency is about to go belly up, and they're going to need currency to get them through to the next. We're going to need gold and to get us into the next phase. What happens if you don't have gold and you still have dollars? Well, let me tell you what happened when I was in Germany. When I was in Germany in 2000, I got to Germany in 2000. When I was in Germany, they no longer used the Dutch mark, I would say about like 2 years while I was there. So the Dutch mark was, man, I mean, it was nothing. It was okay. So they went from the Dutch mark to the European currency. That European currency was the euro. What happened to the Dutch mark? They took all the Dutch marks, put it in a bank, and then burned it. Why? There's probably still some around. But why? Because the currency was no good. So what you going to think when they start, the dollar deflates? You're going to need currency. I am not advocating going by gold. I'm not advocating that at all. I'm not buying gold. Because the trick of the trade is this. When you get caught up in that situation, it's going to be about power. Forget currency. It's going to be about power. Who has the power? And ladies and gentlemen, we do not have the power. And we've already seen that. They showed us that who's got the power. I'm just saying. Okay? I know I kind of took a detour off of this. But it was just important for me to say, because I was in the moment of the Spirit speaking to me. So, like I said, and deprive the foreigners among you justice. Once again, what does that sound like? Immigration reform. Deprive the foreigners among you justice. What does that sound like? Immigration reform. May I say it one more time? What does it sound like? Immigration reform. Listen, I thank you for your time. Thank you for listening to me. But I got one more thing to say. Ladies and gentlemen, you may not like what I'm about to say. Those who understand who Jesus is may not even understand what I'm saying. But Jesus says to him in his word, what I'm about to say, he said, test me on this. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, test me on this. Let me read this real quick. Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and kept them not. Turn to me, and I will turn to you, said the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? You ask me? But you ask, how do we rob you? And this is what Jesus said. Now listen to me carefully. Listen to me very carefully. I do not believe in what they call the spiritual gain or the money profiteering things in church. I do not agree with that, and that kept me out of church for a long time because of that. But let me tell you the secret right here. This is the part you're gonna disagree on me on. This is why I played the sermon yesterday. Because the woman and the child almost died. Because all they had was one barrel of flour left, or one hand scoop of flour, and one little dabble of oil. But he gave it to the prophet, and God kept, every time she went in her hands, she kept renewing it. Not only did she have enough of that, but she had enough to go to the market and sell it and put money in her pocket because she had faith. Now, verse 8 says, we were mere mortals, rob God, yet you robbed me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? Jesus said, in tithes and offerings. Now, let me break this down to you. You are supposed to get 10% of what you make. Out of that 10%, you're supposed to give an offering. Now, let me tell you, there's a couple offerings that you need to know about. If you don't know the offerings in which God has established, this is can be found in Leviticus. And these offerings are often offerings to God that the Israelites were made to do because there was no such thing as Jesus back then. And so now we take that for granted, but he still requires us to give offerings, tithes and offerings. Even in the time of Moses and Aaron, Aaron was able to collect tithes depending on the situation. There was a friendship offering. There was a burnt offering. There was a grain offering. And within these offerings right here, you could either use a bull, a lamb, a goat, flour, a bird, a fowl, the bird, you can only use a pigeon, or you can use a dove, white turtle dove, okay, or a squab, if you want to call it that. Then you have the sin offering. That's what we know. That's what we know when we come to Jesus. We come to Jesus and say, you know, we're offering our body as a living sacrifice. Okay, yeah, that's the sin offering. We don't have to do the sin offering anymore. We don't have to do that. But we're still required to do the burnt offerings. We're still filed to do the grain and the fellowship offering. And that is not going to change, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have to give it to the priest, but we give it in tithes and offerings. Let me finish this scripture right here. Malachi 3:9 says, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, then there may be food in my house. Test me in this, said the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be room enough for you to store it. I will provide pests from devouring your crops. The vines in your fields will not dry from fruit before they're ripe, said the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, and yours will be the delightful land, said the Lord Almighty. Wow. That, ladies and gentlemen, is powerful. If you are having a financial burden right now, if you are having, like you feel like you don't have enough, pray to God and ask him what you need to do. Maybe you are paying your tithe and offering. Then you're not under a curse. But God said, test me. And this, once again, this is in Malachi 3. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and that the flood in my house. Test me in this, said the Lord Almighty, and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be no room enough for you to store it. And this is why I played what I played yesterday, because that woman had faith enough, and because of her faith, she was blessed. Maybe it's time for you to get that blessing, because you have to remember the money that you get is not yours at all. Whether it's physical or spiritual, it's not yours at all. What happens when you spend your money? It's gone. You're broke. You say, well, I'm broke. Why are you broke? Because it never was yours in the first place. It's not your money. Physically or spiritually, God blesses you. So if God giveth to you, God can take it away. People say, well, you need to manage your money. You need to budget your money. And even when you still do that, what happens? People get caught up in these quick rich schemes. People get hit in these pyramid schemes. People get hit where somebody steals that money out of their bank account. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not your money in the first place. You're saying to me, Georgia, I am going to get on it. You don't even know. You don't even know because I have been blessed more than one time doing this. My ex-wife can vouch for this. So, listen, my name is George Beverly. This is Sign Off Forms. I thank you for your time, your love, your compassion, and your energy. And I say to you, be blessed and go with God. Thank you. Amen.